yo intento
No, no,
equilibrarme. ¿Va a ver trilingüe?
no. No. ¿Te coche malo?
So we let's start.
Sure. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone, and thanks for joining this Q4 and year-end earnings call for Infobeam Technologies Limited. I request all participants to please mute their mic. The results are available on the Infobeam's website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. Kindly submit your questions in the chat box. After the brief overview by Avinash is over, then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in a conjunction with the uncertainties and risks they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said note, I now turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Thanks for joining this call. I welcome you all on behalf of Infobeams. And I know we all are struggling the COVID crisis, and you know we are no different. Infobeams is also doing that. So before jumping onto the call, I would certainly want to tell you particularly this particular thing, which is what we're doing for our team. So a lot of our members are affected. I would say, you know, 7-8% of the population across India. And we have set up an active COVID helpline volunteered by 50-odd members of Infobeams. And what we have done is we have set up a committee. Actually, there are 7 committees, one each, for problems like or needs of the COVID patients, like medicine. The first one is medicine, where, you know, obviously there is a huge lack of shortage of medicines across the country. So we are trying to help our team so that they don't have to run while they are already sick. Second, we are helping them in diagnostics. So we have tied up with various pharma labs for helping the team to reduce the time. They don't have to stand in the queue for a basic blood sampling or RT-PCR test or a CT chest. Third, we are doing is we are helping them in terms of procuring oxygen cylinders across the country. We have whatever influence we have in the local geography, we try to help them procure oxygen, at least get refills. So our support staff runs around refilling the cylinders. We also procured things like oxygen concentrators. We have bought it for our team. Multiple oxygen concentrators, multiple oxygen cylinders, BiPAP and ventilators, and so on and so on. Then we have a consulting team for emotional well-being, where we have you know, positivity spread around our people. I mean, obviously there's a lot of negativity, a lot of fear, a lot of scare. So trying to bring them into sanity. And there are teams of counselors and psychologists who are talking to these people to help them bring them back into the mainstream in terms of the positivity. Because while they are in the hospital, they see so much negativity around them, they're depressed. We also have a team of doctors, 3 doctors available to us to talk to our people when they are affected and then try to help them. Then We have a committee which is searching for hospital beds across the country. In four cities that we have operations in, Indore, Pune, Chennai, and Bangalore, we are helping our people figure out if there is a bed available, bed with oxygen, bed with ventilators, you know, just a normal bed, daycare, you know, all those kinds of things. So the entire, you know, effort at this point in time is trying to help our team members in whatever ways and means that we can. And unfortunately, we lost one member 2 weeks ago, a 35-year-old gentleman who was with us for 4 years. We lost him because appropriate care could not be given to him. And that's when we, you know, got into a shock state. And all these people who were working with him or, you know, associated with him in some shape or form, they came forward trying to say, okay, at least we are there to help. The family of the sick person doesn't need to run around, and whatever little we can do, let's come out and do that. So 7 days ago, we set up this committee, and we are seeing some positive results. We are able to help some people. We are able to get them into hospitals or procure remdesivir kind of injections for them, or you know, provide them oxygen when they need it. So I think all of these tiny efforts, the reason why I am sharing with all of you is I'm sure you all of are struggling. You all are depressed in a state where we know the healthcare system is collapsed in the country. So whichever organization you represent, if you can do that effort in your own team, whatever size your team is, I think any amount of help that you can extend to anybody among yourselves will be a great help. I actually am proactively sharing this because yesterday in one of the NESCOM groups, somebody was asking as to what to do. You know, all our team members are getting affected and what are the actions that somebody is taking. And then I said, you know, this is what we've done, and they really liked it. So NESCOM is sharing it with all the companies in the group, and we are having multiple sessions with them to share what we've done and then try and spread the word in whatever small ways you can help. Even just the formation of the committee, you know, Subi was telling in the board meeting today that just the formation of the committee lent her so much of confidence that she feels that, yes, somebody is there to help me. When I'm going to the hospital, I'm not alone. There are people who are going to help me. So I just wanted to, you know, start on that note. I know it is not a good thing to start, but I know we, you know, we all are struggling. Is whatever little we can do, let's do that. So coming to the business, I'm sure you must have read about the news of buyback. We have got into a buyback. We have announced buyback, particularly for the prime reason that we feel that our stock is undervalued with the kind of outcome we are delivering, with the kind of growth that we have been shown in the last 4 years. And therefore, the price was tagged as 232 rupees, a single marketing statement that I want to give to you and to everybody as our shareholders is that we have grown 4 times in 4 years. 2nd of May is our anniversary of getting listed on the stock exchange. 2nd of May 2017 is when we got listed. So 2nd of May 2021 is when you could see that, yes, we have grown your investments by 4 times. So that was the whole idea of 232 rupees. Obviously, we know it is undervalued, but that is what our bet towards, you know, rewarding our shareholders who have been with us for so long. So these are the two big things I wanted to start with before going into the formal presentation. Let's go over to the next slide, please. Kunal or Surbhi, if you can just move to the next slide. Yeah. I'll try to, you know, make it quick and maybe open for more questions and answers. You can continue to put your questions in the chat box. Now, this is a standard drill. We've been talking about it. So let's move on to the next one. Yeah, so this is the growth chart. I think we should probably spend a little time here. From FY17, we were at about 84 crores. That is when we got listed. And, you know, in 4 years, we have reached 196 crores as our top line. I'm particularly happy to achieve this number because, you know, last, I recall when I was talking to you after our March closure last year, I was sounding very negative. And because the COVID just hit that time and nobody was aware what's going to happen, the economy was gone for a toss, and we were wondering, one of our clients had, you know, cut down our projects, and we were wondering where we are going to land up at the end of the year. We were forecasting that we'll be losing about 10% to 15% of our top line. But I'm happy to be proven wrong here. We have actually jumped significantly from our last year numbers, and we have posted healthy growth in all the numbers worth measuring. So revenue, EBITDA, profits, everything has gone well. So far, so good. Next, please. Our, you know, pillars of support. Each one of these people are actually actively helping in the COVID helpline. Yeah, next, please. So a total revenue of 196 crores, 19% growth as compared to what we did last year. We added 14 new clients in this entire year, not the quarter. We have set up a COVID helpline, which is what I want to talk to you. And we also opened a 100-seater office in Chennai. It's quite a contraindicator when people are, you know, closing offices, nobody's working from the office. Why to open an office in Chennai? So we actually are present in Chennai for more than a year now. One of our clients, which is one of the biggest, largest DHL logistics company, which is DHL, they have a particular requirement that they want our team to work in the same campus as they are. So we had no choice, but it's part of the MSA, so to speak, that they want our office to be there. So we've set up an office in an SEZ. We are not going to get a tax benefit because we set up after 31st of March 2020, which is the sunset date for SEZ for income tax benefits. But we'll continue to get import duty benefits or GST waiver on the SEZ unit in Chennai. Next, please. Some of the esteemed clients, we keep talking about it all the time, so I'll skip it. Go beyond the clients, Kunal. Yeah, next, please. Yeah, this is a standard slide which remains for all these 4 years. We continue to focus on these growth strategies and continue to work on each of those columns that you see. Focusing on the client, focusing on the new geographies, focusing on trying to generate more revenue from the existing clients, expanding our sales team physically in all the geographies. Inorganic growth, trying to acquire companies which fits the bill and which has grown well, which we can use and grow well in the business. So that's where we are. Next, please. This is the highlight of the growth in revenue numbers, EBITDA numbers, and PAT numbers. Next. Numbers are already there on the website. There was some glitch in the NSE. They did accept in, we did publish and we did share it with them. And they were unable to, link it to the document, but now it is there. It is there on the website also. And we'll share the presentation after this email with the all the shareholders after this meeting. So essentially, the revenue for the quarter has improved from 44 crores to 47 crores. Other income from 9 to 4. Other income, if you remember, last quarter was on account of the US grant. Then expenses have increased because we did our October appraisal for the last fiscal. We did another appraisal which was more generous in April, effective April. One of the things you must be reading in the media is that there is a huge talent shortage out there. And we are handling it in two ways. One is obviously upskilling and cross-skilling our people so that they can be trained on multiple technologies. The second thing we are doing actively is we have hired 100 fresh graduates in the last 3 months, January to March. And we are training them. We're investing heavily in training them so that we can build upon all the demand that we are getting, and rather than hiring them from the market, because hiring them from the market is extremely costly. Plus, they're not even available. There's a huge decline rate when on the joining date. So every other company, if you see all the top 10 IT companies in India, they're hiring at least 20% of their population from the colleges. The most famous is TCS. They hired 40,000 last year. They are hiring 40,000 now. So on a base of 4 lakh, they will be crossing 5 lakh numbers just by hiring from campus. So we are on the same strategy and same lines. And I think everybody has to do that. You can't continue to hire when the cost is spiraling up so much. EBITDA numbers are there in front of you, EBITDA margins. I think I would rather focus on the year data rather than the quarterly data. So 165 revenue moved up to 196. On the EBITDA side, we have grown from 37 to 54 crores, which is quite a jump. EBITDA margin has actually reached up to 30%, which is quite significant. And PAT margin, has increased to 30%, 20% from 21 crores to 37 crores. This is, let me warn you, let me tell you again that EBITDA margins will neutralize it or, come back to 25% kind of levels, and PAT margins will come back to 15% kind of levels next year. This is again because of the one-time other income, which is quite high. Next, please. Assets and liabilities. I keep getting confused on this chart all the time, but I think nothing of significance here, except for that all the money that we generated is getting added into the assets. And we are going to pay 12.35 crores as a buyback amount, so it is going to go out of the system. Next, please. Yeah, so one more important thing. We did have a stock option program in 2016, even before getting listed in the market. There was a first batch of 25 members. The plan was designed in a way that they can exercise, or they can, the stock options will vest only after 4 years of completion, and they can vest it after that. They can exercise it after that. So 89,000 shares, almost 90,000 shares are allotted and exercised by 25 members. The board has already approved it, and it will be released in next couple of weeks. They've been granted at 10 rupees, which is the face value of the share. And till date, we have, is the number, where is that? Yeah, till date we've issued about 2,26,000 shares to 133 members in last 5 years. The scheme is closed. No new members will be allotted or added into the scheme. All these members will continue to get ESOPs every year until 2025. And 2026, the scheme will close. We have got an approval from the SEBI on allocating 6 lakh shares towards the ESOP scheme. It was there in draft prospectus also. Next, please. So this is the share buyback program. We are coming up with first buyback of the company at about 12.35 crores is allocated for that. The share price will be 232. As I said, it's 4 times of 58 rupees that we raised from. 58 rupees was the IPO price. And it is more than 25% premium to the last price, which was 180 last Friday. 1.8% equity to be brought back from the market. Next, please. So additional updates, the M&A pipeline suddenly became active from January onwards. We have good leads going on. We've been talking to the founders. Again, no significant progress. There is no term sheet or nothing has been signed so far. We are still talking to, there are three companies that we are talking to right now. Philosophy as a subsidiary, as a company is going well. Their sales pipeline is going very good. They are actively hiring. They are in the same situation as we are in. They are also finding talent shortage. They broke even last quarter. And they actually made profit last quarter. And they are focusing on long-term contracts, you know, where they can generate repeat revenue. So they are going well. Office operation, we actually went up to 200 people coming to office every day by Feb. But all of a sudden, this second wave hit, and you know, all of us are back working from home. And we don't know how long this is going to continue, maybe another 2 quarters or so. On the talent acquisition side, we recruited 400 people in the last fiscal, which is actually practically in the last 9 months, because April to June was a hiring freeze. July onwards, we started hiring. In 9 months, we hired 400 people. About, I would say, 200 people left us. And now we currently still have 200 open positions across, you know, all roles and functions in the company. I think COVID risk, we are handling that, but this is really bad. I already talked about it in the start, so let's not go there. Anything else? Next slide, please. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We can jump on to Q&A and I can try and answer all your questions. I'll go one by one. First from Devrat, could you please upload a copy of the latest presentation? Yes, we will do that. Please adjust microphone. Oh, so sorry, I didn't see that. I hope I was audible. I mean, the call is already we'll upload this. Okay, it's already told. Ankita, congratulations. Reason for decrease in revenue Q on Q. There is no decrease in revenue Q on Q. We increased from 44 to 47 crores from the operating side. Reason for increase in other expenses. Okay, so the other expenses are increasing because of multiple reasons. So because of gratuity, because of we as I said, we already started getting operations running in the offices. Plus, we signed this Chennai lease, which is also adding up to the cost. There was also travel planned. We were traveling between US and India in the month of December, January, and February. So that is also contributing to that fact. Reasons for increase in employee expenses. I mentioned last time we have increased our salaries in October quarter. And then we'll expect more increase in expenses, employee expenses moving forward, because we have just done a generous appraisal last May. Effective April 1st. For less than 15 people in Concall a year back to more than 50, a testament to investors. That's nice. Thank you, Srinivas. Quite a couple of questions. How are we protecting against significant volatility in dollar given majority of revenue coming from US? So we follow a standard practice where we book forwards for half of our Indian revenue. Revenue that comes to India, and we leave other half open, and we only book for 2 months. So that's how we try to reduce the volatility. Usually what we've seen is in the last 10 years the dollar keeps on increasing, and this is definitely an exceptional year. But once the situation comes back, it will be on track. Is the buyback an indication of top market on M&A front? No, not at all. I think we used to. One is, you know, I think we've been advised by investors multiple times that why don't you do buyback? It will help signal the market that we seem to be valuing ourselves better than the market. And I think we really feel that. There are multiple people on the call who have been communicating with me on this part. And, you know, I remember last call I said, you know, we're not a company who would be focusing on giving dividends or, you know, buying back, because our focus is always growth. So we certainly want to attract investors who focus on growth. Buyback is a signal to the market that, you know, we are undervalued. You know, if you look at it, how many companies are able to grow or how many sectors are growing in such a tough times? And if we are growing well, you know, consistently for the last 4 or 5 years, we need to be commanding a better premium than what it is given at this point in time. So I think it's just a signal to the market. Plus, you know, it is a good time to reward the investors. We are generating good amount of money every year. We have a good cash reserve already in the bank. We have leverageability. We can leverage, you know, our books in all the in US and in India as well. So we are fairly comfortable, and we know that we're not going to acquire a $20 million business. We are going to acquire a $10 million or $12 million business. So we are fairly comfortable at this point in time. And that's where the, I think the buyback as a solution came, you know, which seemed as a good, I would say, measure to signal the market that yes, we are finding it undervalued. Our cash position last quarter was about 100 crores, 36 crore receivables preserved for M&A, which has been our strategy to grow. But buyback usually happen when management don't see much opportunities. Today's announcement, contradictory. I think I explained that. Had I been going for a 40 crore buyback, you know, this question would have been really making sense. But, you know, 12 crore is nothing in terms of we made 37 crores this year. And we the engine continues to run. So every quarter we are making, let's say, 9 crores. But 12 crores is nothing in that sense. Is dividend being skipped? Yes, dividend is being skipped. Even because, you know, it is not tax friendly for the shareholders. Is philosophy profitable? Yes. Is there a scope to close multiple large deals this year, 2 million and above? We are not even looking. Okay, so you are talking about a sales agreement, sales purchase, sales contracts. So we have multiple deals already signed in the last few years, which is more than let me rephrase. So we have signed multiple deals which is more than $1 million as a contract. We have signed one deal which is more than $4 or $5 million, which was spread for 2 years. I think the number needs to increase, and that is where we are working on. There needs to be more such deals coming up. So yes, we are working on those things. What are your views on work from home and IT company? I find it depressing, Piyush. I don't like working from home. You know, unless you see humans, your spirit doesn't lift up. Unless you talk to each other, you know, otherwise you are in your own mental rut. And all said and done, with so many, you know, meetings like this on Zoom or FaceTime or Google Meet, the human warmth is missing. And, you know, you can't guess the body language of the person. You can't get the tone of the person. So I find it personally very bad. That's where, you know, we are making a lot of effort as a company to bring back people to the office. You know, we continue to make efforts. We continue to move on. We continue to try and engage with people separately. You know, think of this. We hired 100 people which are fresh grads. How do we train them, you know, remotely? How do we, you know, get that energy? See, it's a mutual thing. You need to transfer energy. You need to get energy, right? So otherwise, it is very, very dull, very depressing, and the kind of environment that we're living in, it's depressing by the day. So I really hate work from home. And that is my personal view, but as a business, we prefer people to come together and work. I think the hybrid model is something that we are trying to aim for, but God knows when we are going to be, you know, able to do that now. Devrat asking how much PPP loan we have received in March. We have got waiver for the entire thing that we talked about. So I think we've declared that in the last quarter itself. Sachit, hi Avinash, wishing a faster recovery. No, thank you very much, Sachit. We are still not back to pre-COVID levels of 200 crores annualized revenue. When industry has so much tailwinds, why Infobeans Plus Philosophy are struggling to grow? What was the client addition in 2021 and Q4? And there are new logos in 2021 and quarter also. In quarter, we added about 4 clients. They're not big names. I think one is supporting strategy, which is a back office finance services company, which is a decent sized company in the US. Other ones are smaller. Why in industry got so much tailwinds? Why Infobeans Philosophy is struggling to grow? I don't think they're struggling to grow. I think there's a lot of work coming to us. Let me tell you. We are struggling to get the right talent at the cost that we can justify. Because if we hire today and we can't retain them for next 6 months or 12 months, there's no point in doing it for a very, very short term. And even the demand is like that. They want all those people that are not easily available. So that's a tricky situation. However, we are very positive that we are able to leverage it. As you, 19% growth has happened from last year. So this will continue to happen, I guess. And I see we are willing to leverage whatever we have. As I said, we are investing in people. We are trying to leverage that as a position. We are trying to see if we can acquire a company just to have those resources available to us. So we're trying those things, but you can only do so much in the situation that we are in right now. So, I think growth is there. Growth will happen. How much and how much can we do that? I think it is a matter of multiple things. And be assured we are working in that direction to try and do whatever we can. What is the residual payment to be made to Philosophy? It is 1.3 million to be paid by end of this year if they achieve their targets. If they achieve the targets, let's say 50% or more, then they will get some graded value towards it. If they achieve 80% or 90% or more, they get 100%. How has the attrition been? Attrition has been tough. We've been losing people at annual rate of 20%, which is pretty high. Congratulations and a good numbers. Da, 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 da. We don't do SaaS offering, Mahadevan. We don't do that. We do work for clients who offer SaaS products, but we don't build any SaaS products that we sell. How do you see yourself growing with Philosophy acquisition? I think we have talked about it multiple times in the past. Philosophy looks like a good match, and we are working together, jointly working with their customers, and jointly going out and generating more sales. We are, they are outsourcing to us. We are helping them in their sales. So I think it's going well. We are able to leverage Philosophy in last two quarters. So things are good, looking good. Any plans on BSE listing? I don't think so, Kunal. John, how do you defend your differentiation strategies in the domain of hyper competition? John, the competition has been there for all the 21 years that we are in existence. I think the simplest differentiation in the services industry is be available to the client when they need it. When the trouble happens, you go and own it and accept it. You work as a partner with them. Understand their needs and try and fulfill them, try and delight them. I think these are the simple business strategies that we've been following. We are able to win the trust of our customers, where the classic examples I keep telling is we have NetApp as our client since 2008, and they have their development centers in India around set up at the same time. They continue to work with us. They continue to give work to us despite their own team of thousands of people out there. So we've been able to win their confidence and trust in a way that they not giving it to their own business unit, but giving it to us. So I think that's the only differentiation. From a technology point of view, everybody does the same thing. How are we doing in the areas of digital transformation, cloud, data analytics? We are, the two areas that we are focused on is our product engineering and digital transformation. So we are pretty active in that space, and that is what we are generating our revenue from. So digital transformation is about 45-50%. Our product engineering is about 55-50% kind of breakup. So that's the thing we are doing. Everybody is doing the same thing. How are we doing this area and transfer future? Promoter is holding 75%. I think so. Post buyback, what will be the scenario? Same. So we will also participate in the buyback. What is the very growth rate of stake sales in USD terms, excluding the revenue of philosophy? Why would I exclude revenue of philosophy? But even if I do that, I think the growth rates are, if I were to think of my back of my mind, about 10-11% on constant currency terms. What is the yearly growth in sales of philosophy in USD term? So philosophy has been able to grow decent. I think I don't, let me see if I have a number in front of me. So they have, for the last quarter, they made a margin of about 300K and about 2 million in revenue in the March quarter. So they're doing 15% PAT margin there. Yearly growth, see, philosophy measures their year from January to December. So if I were to bring it to April, March timeframe, April to March, I don't have an answer right now. Sorry for that. What is the borrowing of 55 lakhs under the current liabilities? What is the borrowing of 55 lakh rupees? Kunal, can you help me with this?
This is
probably the lease and the right of use on
no,
the office.
It's PPP. It's PPP loan. This second tranche received by the US government.
5 crores, 51 lakh. Okay, yes. Okay. So let me tell you, there is a, I think there is an update. I didn't share it earlier because we are yet to submit it to the authorities. We have received 750K in second tranche or second loan from the US government. So since it is just received, there is no waiver, there is no application for waiver. So we don't know when it's going to come. So it is just received as a loan. So that 5 crores 51 lakhs is under that. What is the current cash position? I think the current cash position is, if I were to put together the account receivable, we are about, Kunal, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 150 crores?
Yes, 147 crores.
So, Nakul, yes, we continue to look for targets and we look at acquiring companies. So, we are pretty well funded for that. Then, who else is there? Nakul. It just keeps scrolling back. What is the last? Nakul Jain, okay. So we are not declaring dividend. As I said, it is a buyback is more tax-friendly option, a better tax-friendly option. why are our auditors not disclosing the entire cash flow statements? I think this time we have done it. So, Anirudh, your question is answered. Mayank Dubey, with colleges and universities cooperating virtually and will education center be your focus area? Not yet. We have not been getting any business queries from the education sector. But yeah, if it comes across, we will certainly do that. We are not proactively working in the education sector right now. Why don't you hire and contract from similar? Harshin, we continue to apply all the strategies that we need to hire our talent. So thanks for the idea. Use that. Every time you admit somebody, you know, just the chat goes, scrolls back. Where was I? Anirudh Bhandari, we talked about it. Mayank Dubey, we talked about it. Hamid Hashid, we talked about it. Prathamesh, thank you. When I read annual report, I found the contingent liability of our company is around 14% of total net worth. Just want to know your view on it. I think, obviously, that is an old data. The contingent liability must have reduced. So mostly it is, and is at 14% of the net worth. Where is that question? I'm just lost on that. Just keeps rolling back again and again. 14% of total net worth. Why would I worry about net worth and why would I worry about whether it is 14% of net worth in an IT company is nothing, right? I mean, I don't understand that. Kunal, you have an answer to this? When I read annual report, I found that there is a contingent liability of our company around 14% of total net worth. What does that mean?
Hi, Avinash, Vijay here. Is this pertaining to the philosophy acquisition payout that we have provided in contingent liability?
Must have been. There are two liabilities that we created, a long-term and a short-term. And this was contingent because, they had to meet their performances.
Yeah, so that has seen the reduction of 8 crores. So maybe because of...
Yeah, so one tranche they didn't pay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I why would I even worry about whether it is 14% of total net worth? See, if we have enough cash in the business.
No, I'm just like find out that...
How is that a worry? So this will actually reduce to probably what? Less than 10%? Okay, sales being done to subsidiary is raising and per 20 annual report, 42% of sales are coming from me. Yes, it is rising. So
that's good to know that.
Sorry, Amit? We wanted to double every 2 years, organic plus inorganic. Are we still thinking the same? We're certainly thinking the same. Definitely, yes. We certainly want to target that. But last year, we couldn't think anything beyond COVID. So, I think last year was a total washout. Amit, you're not audible. Please mute yourself. You can probably use chat if you want to. Your voice. Oops, sorry. Is the call done?
No,
are you done with the questions?
Few questions are still left with Vinash, which if you could see this on the screen on the right side.
I'm trying to scroll, but it just, as I said, it just, every time somebody is getting admitted in the call, it just goes back to the, I don't know where. And then I have to search back and I'm totally lost.
I'll read a few questions for you here. This question is from Vipul Sanghvi. Hi Avinash, congrats on good set of numbers. Can you please guide us on margins? Do you see pressure on margins due to higher employee cost?
Yes, I do. I didn't mention that. We would see the margins getting suppressed slightly because the cost is increasing. We are working to obviously raise our fees, our charges with the client, but it's a long process. Plus, the talent shortage will also keep it tough for us to maintain. And that's where the reason of hiring so many freshers is to improve the bottom of the pyramid and reduce the cost moving forward. So we're trying to balance, but there's always a catch up to be done. So I do see some pressure on the margins. But as I keep telling everybody, even pre-IPO days, we would be able to balance and come back to the 24% EBITDA margins and 15% PAT margins. That's the holy grail for us, and we try and retain it as much as we can. So Devrat, I see that point. The second tranche, yes, is there, which is due if they really meet their numbers. If you are talking about the second loan from the government, then the second loan is just come. So the government is yet to open up the application for forgiveness and so on and so on. It might take 2 quarters. We don't know when it's going to happen. So therefore, I didn't even mention it. Hi, Sachit. Large and high companies are hiring country-based growth officers and benefiting from in terms of growth. Infobeam should also do that. We are doing that, Sachit. We have actively built a customer success team whose job is does that. Prasant Kumar, whether all receivables are expected to be collected? Yes. Usually, we had one bad debt last year. But usually we don't see bad debts. So we are positive that we'll be able to collect. Good. One thing that I must mention is that US market is far better at this point in time. They've been able to handle COVID well now after vaccination. So we expect growth, continued growth from the US market. Aditya Late, can we expect buybacks to be a regular feature? I can't say anything about that. Thank you for asking. Dividend policy is already there. We usually don't put out how much we want to give out every year because, as I said, we are not a company that should be invested for dividend. We are a company to be invested for growth. How do you see your company from a decade now? I think, John, that's a tough question to answer. I keep telling that, we tried all of those things, 5-year strategy, 10-year strategy, and it fell flat on our face. So what we are saying now, and we feel that that's more sustainable and doable and it also keeps us focused, is try and aim for doubling ourselves every 2 years. So that's the attempt we make. We might take 3 years to do that, but that's the focus. And if we continue to do that, I'm sure you'll be happy to see us after a decade.
Thanks. Thanks, Evi. The only concern is, do you have any intrinsic risk resilience program woven into your philosophy so that, that is my sincere appeal. So that I'm really not worried, how you're seeing it, but is there a risk resilience program, that is actually part of, what you're projecting in terms of, your continual growth. So, and how you're going to calibrate that. So that is exactly my question on that.
See, John, you can always, we do have certain things in place. First thing is, if you're looking at enterprise risk, or if you're looking at business risk, we know we can plan for certain amount of risk. Nobody can plan for things like COVID. COVID one first wave and COVID second wave. Nobody can plan for that. I think if you look at the structure of the company, we are 3 founders. So from a management point of view, we are balanced and the founders are active. So there is some risk diversification there. Second is we are a professionally run organization. So we have a team of middle management, which is more than 50 people. Who are running the show. So even if the founders go on a 1 month vacation and don't even look at the business, it will continue to work. Third is we have enough money in the bank, which, is a good lever for us to, you know, tide away a crisis like COVID, which was unforeseen. Fourth, you know, we have ability to leverage our balance sheets to generate more capital if we need to. Fifth, we are already in the market, and in the 4 years of presence, I hope we have people who can, you know, fund us for any new requirement as a business. So, you know, from that structural point of view, there is a risk mitigation. From a technology point of view, there could be technology which can get outdated very easily. You know, so we continue to invest in learning and development and try and grow a team, upskill them, cross-skill them. So that's a constant attempt.
Thanks, Siddhi, for being absolutely cogent and very clear and confident. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Avinash, just two questions. One is broader in terms of the growth on the Indian business. And second, on the philosophy, you said philosophy has break-even. So break-even this quarter or for the year still, if I compare standalone and consolidated, it still show 2 crore loss. So if I consider that as break-even, then next year it can add to our standalone number more. So basically consolidated and standalone, there is a difference of 2 crore.
So essentially, when I say break even, in philosophy as a standalone, when they closed their books in December 2020, including the government grant, they were breaking even.
Yes.
When I look at this quarter, March quarter, they are making profit.
Okay.
So when we consolidate philosophy, we include April to March quarter.
Okay.
So there's an impact that will be shown in our books because we consolidate only those 4 quarters that we are showing our results for. So
sure.
So that is where I'm seeing the differences. But the business is picking up well. And they are, as I said, they are now hiring. They are hiring aggressively. And they are finding work. And they are also obviously struggling to get the right talent because the cost structure is also going for a toss in the US also. So I think these are good signs in a way. US market economy is also picking up well. So it being our largest market, we feel that we don't have to really worry too much about the growth in this quarter, in this year, sorry, not quarter. So
sure.
I think I'm positive in that sense.
So I just wanted to understand, last year we have taken philosophy for 9 months or entire year we have taken number for 9 months?
No, so in March 2020 numbers, we had philosophy only for 6 months.
Okay, so last year if I take philosophy number, the numbers were 46 crore, but this year it comes out to around 62 crore. So there is a degrowth in philosophy if I compare.
No, you can't. The financial comparison cannot really work because they were affected badly last year because of COVID for more than 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
This year. Last year they were growing beyond their targets.
Correct. That's what.
So they did more than 2 million, 2 million more than the target.
Okay.
So those 6 months would be giving a very skewed comparison. I mean, they can't really be compared. This is not apple to apple comparison.
So last year,
it is difficult to do that.
Okay, fine. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. 20% is a huge attrition rate, Hiten Machal. Yes, it is. And as I said, we are hiring more people at the bottom of the pyramid. We are hiring little experienced people and then grooming them. We are also multi-skilling our own team. So we are working on all the dimensions to retain them. We gave a very healthy appraisal back to back. After October, we did again in April. So a lot of such things. What are pivots of customer selection besides margin? Any specific vertical where we plan to create mesh? Ethan, we are still not at a size where we can focus on a particular industry vertical. We try and did, we tried our efforts, but we are still too small to focus ourselves on a particular sector only. So yeah, I think we are happy being a horizontal player, and I think that has worked in our favor all this while. So we'll continue to figure out if there is a mesh that we can build. But as far as today it is, we are still not there. Thank you very much. I think we are done. Last question, Anirudh Kanere. I could please share some guidance inside on the talent availability scenario in the domestic IT. See, talent is going to be short because everybody is hiring. The entire IT industry in India is hiring mad. You know, I can give you one example and you will understand what's the gravity of the situation is. A 4-year experienced person who is getting, let's say, 8 lakh rupees of CTC in the current company, has a 16 lakh offer. And he, let's say, if Infobeans is approaching him, he will ask for 21. Even if I accept 21 lakh as an offer, he will not join me. Because by the time he completes his last day in the previous company, he will have another offer of 23 lakhs. That is what is happening. A 4 lakh guy getting 23 lakh from jump from 8 lakh rupees. How can you sustain? How many people can sustain that? That is the scenario that is happening. Obviously, for the skills which are highly desired, all those talk things that you talked about, digital transformation, automation, cloud, the salaries are going through the roof and it is impractical. But the demand is so much that people are throwing money left, right, and center. It's not justifiable. It cannot be sustained. So if you look at the top 10 IT companies, they must be hiring at least 4 to 5 lakh engineers from the colleges. They are going to train. So the number that I gave you earlier is about 20% of the population of the current IT companies, their 20% workforce is going to be new from the campus. That's the kind of investment the companies will have to make. Now it's a good news because this 200 billion IT industry will become 300 billion IT industry in the next 5 years. It will create jobs for everybody. But it is going to be tough in terms of hiring, literally hiring from the campus. The good news and the bad news. The good news is that a lot of talent available. The bad news that 90% of them are unemployable. So we have to train them. We have to invest in them. But that is going to be a cost. That is going to be an effort. So that's the whole situation of what it is right now. But good news is we have people. And we will be able to train them. That's what we've been doing all these years. So we know that. We know the tricks of the game. We'll be able to do it. And I'm talking about the entire IT industry also. Everybody will be able to do that. So I think we are doing good as an industry. We are doing good as a company. These are regular business challenges. We have to handle that. And we will be able to handle that. All right. I think let's call it off. It's already 1 hour. Prathamesh, you'll just take the last question and then we'll call it. Sales were 157 crores. Out of that, around 39 came from sales within subsidiary. So current quarter, how much sales came from subsidiary? I don't have this number on top of my mind. You probably get it, right, from the financials? Standalone will be there and then subsidiary will be there. Please check it from there. Okay. I think I don't remember the number, sorry. Thank you very much. Thank you all for your time and staying invested in Infobeans and trusting Infobeans. We'll endeavor to maintain your trust and enhance it moving forward, and continue to reward you and continue to benefit you whatever ways we can. Thank you very much.
thank you everyone. With said that said note, we can end up the call. And in case you have any queries still left out, you can write to us on our email ID. We will be happy to answer it to you. Thank you all for joining us. You can disconnect your lines.